Morning, everyone. Welcome out again to our service this morning. A beautiful summerish, fallish day. I'm not sure what you call it. We're kind of right in the middle of it here. Good to see everyone out. Search for so far this morning has been inspiring to me to listen to what everyone's had to say, from the devotions to the Sunday school lesson, kind of tied in very well. We're talking about victory in Jesus. And that does dovetail very much with what I have here, at least somewhat. I was thinking the last few weeks, thinking about, talking about some people, praying about it. I was coming to come up empty for quite a while on what to preach about, what to talk about this morning. But I felt like God did lay this subject on my heart. It's something that I feel very strongly about, something that I believe in strongly. If you want a title for the message, it's Cultivating Hunger for God's Word. Something that I deal with personally quite a bit in my own life, of how to love the Word of God like it says I should. That sounds a little dry. You look at the Bible characters in the Bible, there's many characters in the Bible that obviously loved the Word of God, and they applied it to their hearts, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And I know how I live my life. I go about my day's activities, I suppose. And you want to serve God with all your heart. You want to do what God wants you to do. And you want to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so many times, when it comes to the Word of God, we've been immersed in it so much, so many times in our lives, most of us, that we do it. It becomes almost like a chore. And the Word of God is alive. It's much more than that. It's much more than something that we do every morning or every evening, or even multiple times throughout the day. As I was getting into this subject, I knew this beforehand, but as I was really getting into it, I realized exactly how much of the Bible talks about the Word of God and how we as His people are supposed to handle that. This is not going to be a comprehensive discussion of this subject, because there's be way too much to cover. I already feel like I have a lot. There's going to be a lot of scriptures that I turn to this morning. You can feel free to just listen or turn to them with me. But it's a subject that I feel very strongly about, especially as I look around and I see as we're raising children. I'm kind of in the middle of that myself. There's a lot of us here in those stages, whether in the beginning stages of that, middle in the battle, I guess you call it, or even in the stages where most of your children are gone. I think it's especially important for us as leaders in this congregation, whether it's husbands and wives or mothers and fathers or even siblings, we're all got someone looking to us, to pass down a love for God's Word. It's not something that's just there. It's not a storybook. It's the Word of God. It's alive in our life. So I have this broken down into two sections. The first section is, why do I need to have a hunger for God's Word? It seems a very straightforward question, and yet there are multiple parts of this, multiple ways of looking at this. You can turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55 to get started. Just one verse here. I picked out a lot of verses here and there because I could have just read whole passages that pertain to this. Why do we need hunger for the Word of God? When we look at, especially we kind of like to break it down. We have church life, we have our work life, I guess you call it. We have our personal life at home, we have our devotional life. We like to chunk up, maybe it's something more that we guys like to do. We have everything categorized, and we do this here, we do that there. We have a 10 minutes here in the morning, maybe that we want to read our Bible, we want to read a chapter, maybe that's our goal. And that's all well and good. Maybe we're more ambitious than that. Maybe we're reading through the Bible in a year, or more ambitious than that even. Maybe we're reading through it in a couple months. There's nothing wrong with any one of ways of reading the Word of God, but are we doing it as a duty, or are we doing it because we have a true hunger for the Word of God in our life? What does God want us? What is God saying to us? Isaiah 55, the first three verses here say this. Very familiar verses. Once again, I could have read a lot more than this, but these three verses popped out. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So why do we need hunger? Well, look at these verses. It says, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I take that, I know there's a couple different interpretations of this verse, but I take that as the Word of God is precious to us. So why am I hungering for God's Word? It's because it's something that I was given. We did not choose to be born into the families we were born into or the situation we were born into. And yet we've been very blessed as a children of God here, especially in our 21st century Americanized culture, I guess. It was mentioned earlier, I think it was in the Sunday school lesson, about how we have not been called really to sacrifice that much. And I think it's lent to this air of we just kind of roll along through life and attack the Christian life like we do everything else, and that is we just kind of do what is needed, what we feel like we can need to do to satisfy the requirements. I think if we lived in an area where we were physically persecuted, where we were being chased from place to place, where like a story that I heard a while back, there was a group of churches, underground churches in China, and a Westerner came and was amongst these house churches preaching to them or with them, and he was appalled. The Sunday morning he stood up on the pulpit and the pastor of the local underground church just had a part of the Bible, and they were having a small conference in honor of this man being there. And it was three or four different, I guess, underground churches represented there, and they only had a partial Bible. And at the end of the service, they started tearing this Bible up in sections. And he was absolutely shocked. He wanted to stop them, and they explained to him that this was the only Bible that was in the area that they had. And so their practice was, when they got together, they each had a different book of the Bible. They separated the Bible up into books or sections, and then they would trade sections around. That's what they would preach on. That's what the congregations would study until they were able to get together again, because no one else had anything else. So they were splitting up the Bible and passing it around. And we don't know anything of that. How precious would we view the Word of God? Would we view it as something without price? If there was one Bible for not only a family, not only a congregation, but multiple congregations of people to be shared around, how precious would the Word of God be to you? How much would you memorize it? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 for another scripture here. As we go down through here, I hope you can catch a vision for what I see in this. I think whether we have a true hunger for the Word of God, I think is a very great barometer for where our relationship with Jesus is in our personal lives. And this isn't just for the older ones, those of us in more middle age. It's also for the younger ones as well. I think it's actually doubly important for those of you who are younger, who are just starting out, maybe the young people here, who are just starting out in the first few years of your Christian walk, is to catch a hold of the vision for a true hunger and thirsting after the Word of God. Because if you do catch that, it will serve you very well in the years to come. As you're getting older, maybe as you get families of your own, it's something that I wish I would have caught a vision for more when I was a young person. I spent many years just very disenfranchised almost with the whole idea, because I was told one thing and my experience was another thing. Like I was kind of flailing. And I remember asking God for a hunger and thirst after His Word, but it seemed like so many times the cares of this life just kind of come up and rip it away. So as we're going through this, try to think in your own mind, analyze your own life. Like I said, I came to the subject because it's something that I struggle with very much in my own life, is how to make this practical, or not even practical, but how to make this real in my life on a day-to-day basis. Am I opening my Bible because I have to, or do I want to? Do I wake up and I can't wait to see what God has for me today? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, As another very familiar verse, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So why do we need a hunger for God's word? So that we can grow. If we don't have a hunger for God's word, if we're not digging into what God wants for us on a day-to-day basis, we are going to continue to just simply be in the milk of the word. Someone that's old, someone that's young, you can't just automatically say, well, that older person must have a deep relationship with God and know their Bible really well. And this young person, they're just still getting started, so they probably don't know the Bible that well. That's, if you've been around enough in life, you know that's not true. I've seen young people who are on fire. I've seen young people who put me to shame with how much they know, how much they're willing to talk about it. And we've also seen older people who are just pretty shallow. They just come and go with their life and they just do their thing. So we need to always aspire to learn more. I think the older ones here in this room will tell you that no matter how much you hunger for God's word and no matter how much you read it and study it, you'll never get through it. There'll always be something new. Always, always, always. No matter that, you could come back to the same passage for the 100th time and God may bring something out for you. That's what true hunger brings about in our lives, is the ability to let the Holy Spirit speak into our life and to show us what he has. One more verse here in the section, Matthew chapter 4. Another verse here, like I said, we're flipping back and forth here quite a bit, so you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Matthew chapter 4, another very familiar verse. It's from the Sermon on the Mount. I had the wrong chapter. It's just before the Sermon on the Mount, actually. It's a lead up to that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And there you have it. Why do we need to hunger? It's because that just this life is not going to sustain us. We can live our life however we want. I had my daughter was complaining to my wife and I the other day. We were talking about some things, and my wife and I said, well, you can't do that. And she's like, well, you and mommy do. And I said, I understand that. But I said, you have to learn in life that sometimes life is not fair. And sometimes it's just the way things are. And she didn't like that very well. But I said, technically, when you grow up, you can do whatever you want. Well, she liked that idea. But I said, you can technically do whatever you want, but there will be consequences for every action that you take. And I wanted to explain some real-life scenarios of how that works out. And that got a little more sober response. It wasn't quite as exuberant after that. But the why I bring that up is that in this verse, man shall not live by bread alone. We can choose to live our life where we just kind of skim the surface. God will allow us to make those decisions. We heard about that also in Sunday school class. God will not take free choice away from us. We can live our life and skim and live it shallowly and try to kind of work that balance of do what I want to do, but also do what God wants me to do. I've been there plenty of times in my own life. But we know deep down in that that's not what God's looking for. We've seen plenty of examples in the Bible of men and women who were men and women of God, and they were sold out. And part of that selling out was they loved the law of God. They just really did. They loved the word of God. Second part underneath this section, why do we need hunger? Because we receive benefits from it. God has made promises to us. There are many, many promises in the Bible that directly deal with the word of God in our life and how it works out. Turn to just over a couple pages over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. Very, very familiar passages. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. I don't know how many times I've read that verse. We've all learned it in school. And yet this time, something jumped out at me that I hadn't ever really thought about before. Look closely at that verse in there. It says, for they shall be filled. It doesn't say that we'll just be fed. It says we'll be filled up to the brim. I don't know. Maybe I'm making a little more something out of something that is actually there, but I really like that thought that I will be filled. You will be filled. Hunger and thirsty after righteousness. We're not just going to be fed a little bit enough to keep us going. We're going to be filled up to full and overflowing. don't know about you, but that makes me feel exuberant about the fact of digging into the Word of God. Do I want to be filled with what God wants me to be, with who God wants me to be? I know we're all in different positions here. Some of us are parents. Some of us are just children at home. But God has a purpose for each one of us. So are we being filled with the Word of God? Psalm 119. Let's turn to Psalm 119. This is a psalm. I actually just sat down and read this psalm the whole way through. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, but the more I read it, the more I realized that I could have probably preached this entire sermon off just this passage. David, obviously, is a man who we're very familiar with and who God said was a man after his own heart. Why was that? David made plain mistakes. And I think if you read the Psalms, read them very carefully, you will understand why David was a man after God's own heart. Especially if you have some time, we're not going to do it. I'm going to pick a few verses out as we go. But sit down and read through Psalm 119. It's 176 verses. So it takes a little bit of time. And if you slow it down and really read it, it takes a little more time. But this psalm is chock full of David glorifying God and mentioning the fact of how he loved the precepts and laws of God. You can just see his joy overflowing. I can almost see him sitting down and writing this out. Like, I don't know what he was going through at that moment. Maybe he had just had a big victory as king. Or maybe he had gone through something really tough and God pulled him out of it. But whatever his mindset was in this psalm, he was full and overflowing. I just picked out one section. I could have read out of a number of sections. Verse 97. It's one of the ending sections. Well, it's kind of toward the middle of this psalm here. Psalm 97 through 105. I'm just going to read these few verses here and just listen closely to how David is referring to the Word of God in his life. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So just like 8 verses here, but just full of David, just bubbling out of him. So what are the benefits of loving the Word of God? Well, there's plenty of them in here. It says he's wiser than his enemies. He has more understanding than his teachers. That sounds a little over the top, but I think you can sense his experience here in the moment. He was full of what God wanted him for, and he's full of the Word of God. In the next phrase and the next verse, I understand more than the ancients. We tend to shy away from that a little bit. We're like, I don't really know everything, and that's a good attitude to have. But when the Word of God is coming alive in your life, I don't know if you've ever been there, ever experienced that, where you're in a situation in life and the Word just seems to it just comes alive for whatever you're facing at the moment. You do feel like that you understand more than the ancients because you understand that God and the Word of God is there for me. It's there for all of us in every situation. So how am I viewing it? Once again, we'll come back to that. How am I viewing the Bible? You can read down through this passage, and I've done it already, and it just kind of bland words on a page. And yet, there's many other verses in just this psalm and many other places where David talks about how the precepts of God, the commandments of God, were life to him. They're not just a prescription, a how-to-do life. They were actual life. Back to 1 Peter. One more verse here in this section. 1 Peter chapter 1. Maybe I should have told you to keep your finger in that passage since we're flipping back and forth a little bit here between the Old Testament and New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. I have 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't, wait, I see my problem. I'm in 2 Peter. To help, I'm in the right place. 1 Peter chapter 1, there we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What's the benefit of the word of God? It's forever. It's something that is there. No one can ever take that away from you. And this is something that's a little different subject, but it brings me back to the Chinese churches. Part of that story I told earlier, where they only had parts of the Bible for each congregation. They would get together as congregations, and they would memorize it. The person that was over there with them said, he said, I was just blown away by the absolute level of memorization that everyone had. These people would get together. They had one book, and the entire congregation would memorize the entire book. And they could quote you the entire thing. And then they would get together, and they would trade chunks of the Bible, and they would study that for the next month or two, and they would memorize it because there was no guarantee that it would be there. The authorities would come in and take it away, and they would be left with just their memory and their minds. So the level of zeal that they had for the Word of God and the preciousness of it was just, he said, I was a minister for 30 plus years. And he said, I felt like nothing. He said, I felt like I had completely misplaced my priorities in my life, even though he said, I spent my life going around to different parts of the world and preaching the gospel. He said, I felt like I was completely inadequate. And he said, it's been inspiration to him ever since. And to me, I still remember it. Like, how much do I memorize here? I could do so much better. We are so used to, all of us have multiple, probably own multiple Bibles. And so there's no danger of them being taken away from us. And so anytime we want, we can pick up the Bible. Or, for that matter, we can pull out our phones and read however many versions we want on our phones. It's just so readily available. I think it detracts from how precious the word is supposed to be to us sometimes. How much am I in it? And more importantly, how do I look at it? Moving on to the second section, that was why do we need the hunger? I think we covered it pretty well. These are the reasons why we need hunger. So then comes the age-old question, how do we cultivate that hunger? So it's all fine and good to talk about how good it is to have a love for the word of God. But how do we actually cultivate that in our lives? How do we make it happen? The first one I had was, I had written down, build a love for God. And then I thought back and I crossed it out and said, have a love for God. And then the next time I went back and looked at it, I thought maybe I should have went back to build a love for God, because I wasn't sure. Building love for God, it kind of, our human tendency is to, we need to pull ourselves up our own bootstraps and make this happen. And so I put down build a love for God, and I thought, well, maybe that's a little too much of our own self. Maybe we need to let God work in our life more. So I wrote have a love for God. And then I was like, well, maybe that's taking the onus of responsibility off of us too much. So maybe both. Maybe we should have a love for God and build a love for God. You take that however it applies to your life, whatever you feel comfortable with and what speaks to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you turn that there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's another familiar passage. I found myself just coming up with lots of familiar stuff here. Verses that are very familiar to us. This was a message that came to me, a subject. It's not anything, we're not digging anything new out of here per se. It's just exhorting us to love God more, I guess, and love the Word of God more. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You could preach an entire sermon off this. This is also one of the most quoted, a very quoted verse in the New Testament. Jesus quoted these verses directly. And he added the second to it, love thy neighbor as thyself, as the two greatest commandments. So how do I cultivate a hunger for God? Am I loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? The Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded to do this here, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They were simply had a list of laws they tried to follow, and of course, it didn't work. Jesus himself said when he came that the law was not sufficient. It takes more than that. We have that more. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. So if you want to hunger for God, put yourself into it wholeheartedly. every aspect of your life. Even when you're out mowing the lawn, you can still be worshiping God. You can worship God at work when you're working. You can have a love for the Word of God in any part of your life, no matter where you're at. It doesn't have to be just at church or at church camp or at Bible school. It should be everywhere. The second part is prayer. I think prayer plays a huge part in this. Turn to John chapter 14. When we're talking about cultivating a hunger for the Word of God, how else can we do that except for communication with God? John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So where is our level of desire for the Word of God? Where is our level of want to? I think that's how they put it these days. Where is our want to? How much do we actually want this? This is myself coming out here. This is one of the frustrations I have in my own personal life, is kind of where this subject came from, because I feel like sometimes there's so many distractions in our world today. We have so much stuff that calls our attention. It used to be bad enough with all the work schedules and things that we got caught up into, and now we have all these phones with us all the time. There are so many distractions. We can just spend endless amounts of time doing literally nothing. And I get frustrated with myself sometimes. I get frustrated with the fact in my life that I don't feel that hunger and thirst for the Word of God and how precious it is. I don't catch a vision for how precious it is in my life, because it gets drowned out by all this other stuff. I think one of the keys to this is prayer. How much time am I spending in prayer? And how much time am I spending in prayer for this? Asking God to make himself real, to make his word real in my life. We tend to get caught up in the mundane things of life. And those are all good. We pray for the world around us. We pray for people who are struggling. We pray for Christians, people who lost loved ones. We pray for our governments. We pray for, all this stuff. And it's great. That's fantastic. We're commanded to do that too. But I think God wants us to desire him and his word. And it says in verse 14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Not maybe, not if you want it good enough. Possibly, I will do it. So if you're struggling, maybe you feel like you're struggling in your love for God, love for the word of God, ask God. Just talk to him about it. Ask him to give you a hunger and thirst for his word. And I think you'll be amazed at how that turns out. Because God wants us to be near him. God wants us to come to him. The only limiting factor on the power of God is us. God has vast stores of things for us to do, plans for us. But we limit that. It's up to us whether we limit that or else we are actually in it. The third part here is we need to simply delight in the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 15, just one verse there. If you turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Says it like this, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Just gonna go back and read that verse again. Just listen to what he says. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." They were the joy and rejoicing of his heart. I think of the situation here. They found the Word of God, and it was so precious to them. He said it was his joy and rejoicing. He ate them up. Now, obviously, I don't think he ate the physical scroll, although there was times where that happened, but he ate them up. Do I eat up the Word of God in my life? Do I delight in the Word of God in my life? Our attitude will go a long way toward this. We hear this as children growing up, choose your attitude, right? You need to have a good attitude. You got to have a good attitude. You're not allowed to go through this. You can do these other things that I've talked about. You can desire to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can pray to God. But am I delighting in that? Is it actually something that I want? Is it something that makes me happy? I don't know what the word delight, what that means to you. I'm sure each one of us has maybe a different definition of how that looks in your life. Maybe it is dancing a jig for joy because you found an answer to something. Maybe that's more something that some of us more impulsive ones do. Maybe it makes you smile. Maybe it makes you happy. It makes you go about the rest of your day with a smile on your face. Whatever that word delight means to you, that's what the Word of God should be to us. Turning back to Psalm 119 one more time, I just couldn't help but go back to it. Psalm 119, verse 92, so it's a little earlier in the psalm than what we read out before. Two verses here, Psalm 119, 92 and 93. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. So David makes this sound pretty dire. He said, unless thy law had been my delights, I would have perished in mine affliction. I don't know if you've ever been there in a situation in life that's really difficult, and you were so down, life looked so bad, the situation you're in was so dire, that the only thing you had to hang on to was the promises of God. Without it, you probably would have gone crazy. I've been there. I'm sure some of you all have been there as well. Probably most of us have been there to some degree or another. The delight in the law of the Lord and delight in God kept him from perishing in his affliction. I think if we catch that vision, if we really truly catch that vision of what he's saying here, how important are the words of God to me? And what is the attitude toward them? Coming back to attitude, what is their attitude toward them? Do we look at it as a drudgery? Is it a drudgery to read the Word of God? Is it a duty to read the Word of God? Or is it an opportunity to read the Word of God every day? I know for myself, we obviously shy away from the drudgery word because we don't want it to be a drudgery. We want it to be an opportunity. That's what we really want it to be. But too many times, it just becomes a duty. I know for me, I know I should, and I really want to. I really do. I want to be sincere about this. So I read the Word of God, see what God has for me. But in the middle of it, I realize that I'm thinking about what I have to do after this. What's the next thing I have to do on my list? The world and its duties come into my life, and just kind of, before I realize it, I'm just kind of autopiloting down through my scripture, and I found I'm thinking about what I need to do for the rest of the day, what's coming up. And of course, then you get ashamed of you get shameful of it. It's like, well, this is ridiculous. So go back and maybe reread it again. And I don't know, it's a little frustrating to me when I'm in that position personally. Why can't I focus? Why can't I catch the fire? This is an opportunity. This is life itself. And I think maybe sometimes we get too hard on ourselves because we are humans. And I think the devil knows how important the Word of God is to us. And so he's going to use anything he can to distract us from that. And I think we need to recognize that and not get too hard on ourselves and realize that God does look at the heart. And if my heart and desire is after the right thing, God looks at the heart and realizes that. So I hope that we can catch the vision for a cultivated hunger after God. Are we delighting in God? We look back at all the Bible characters in the Bible that delighted in God. Of course, we have David, just one after another, just so much of it. We have some of the Old Testament prophets, like Ezra, when he came back from captivity and they rebuilt the city. the love, and they found the book of the law. The love they had was just, this was something they had missed, and they couldn't help themselves. They went after it with all their heart. So many different places that people love the law of God. So many different biblical characters. And you can even think of, in our life today, you look around, I'm sure we all have those heroes of faith that we look up to. People that we are like, if we could just be more like them, that's who we desire to be. And that's great. But let's channel that into a desire to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. So many times, like I said, myself, we've read it so many times, we can just kind of numb out over it. And yet, if we keep that delight in the law of God alive, if we keep that desire, that hunger and thirst after righteousness on a daily basis, on an hour-to-hour basis, I think we'll be surprised of how God works in our life.